This entire season of Retronauts is fully funded by listeners like you thanks to Patreon. If you'd like to find out how you can help and get episodes a week in advance, head on over to patreon.com/retronauts. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I'm Bob Mackey, your host for today, and let's see who else is here. Let's go this way.
Shane Bettenhausen.
Esteemed guest and former Retronaut.
Happy to be back.
Awesome. Who else do we have?
Christian Nutt of Gama Sutra and frequent guest, never regular. I don't know.
First time regular.
Got some fiber over here.
Jeremy Parrish in the house.
Your irregular host, I guess. I don't know.
So alternatingly regular.
With my episodes of Retronauts Micro, I'm sort of just kind of choosing really small topics that won't go on as long as our pocket episodes did. And today's topic is my question for all of you guys, and that is, what game do you want to like but can't? Like something that you like in theory but not in practice. And I did this topic at a live show a few years ago, but no one else but me was in this room. And my choice, and Shane's going to be really mad at me, was Zelda 2.
Oh, my God.
I've opened a can of worms here. But I can say I respect it.
User error.
What's that? User error?
Yeah, it's user error.
Yeah. But I'm not going to go with that one this time because I don't want Shane to kill me. And I will say my choice this time will be Star Tropics.
I agree with you.
Will there be anyone opposed to that in this room?
I completely agree.
Okay. I think that's such a great little idea for a game that just doesn't work.
Yeah. I like it, but it's not.
And you're younger, so you were not around when it came out, right?
No, I was. I'm 32,
if you were
10,
younger, like, yeah.
I mean, did you buy it on its initial release?
I rented it on its initial release.
Were you excited about it before it came out?
Yeah, I mean, I had Nintendo Power was covering it,
because I'll say my first taste in Nintendo Power, being slightly older and the same age as Christian and about Jeremy, I'm like, this looks dumb. It looks like a genre I like, i.e., The Legend of Zelda, with a terrible, terrible theme.
That's weird. I mean, I don't know why I was into it at the time. Maybe I was
there was a guy with a banana in his ear.
Maybe I was like a secret parrot head or something. But it looked really cool. Like it was a tropical setting, and for some reason, like tropical settings were really popular in games in the like late 80s or early 90s, like Adventure Island, things like that.
Yeah.
Even Mario was like tropical in its own way. But it seemed cool. It's like here's Legend of Zelda, but the character can jump, and there are dungeons, and you have like cool weapons like yo-yos and things like that.
Yeah, that's not cool.
When
I was 8, I thought it was cool.
My take on the game was just like, I kind of in the Shane camp because, like you said, it's probably an age thing. So I was like, this kind of looks dumb. And then I got it and I'm like, this is surprisingly good. So I sort of the opposite reaction. I came with low expectations and sort of was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Whereas you were like super hyped and like the deficiencies became obvious.
It was like another Nintendo game made by Nintendo. And I think it was made by their branch that made Games for America, like the people that made Punch-Out, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I think this is one of the few games that Genyo Takeda was actually in charge
That's
of.
That's right, yeah. And I think Jeremy said that.
Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I totally missed it.
It's cool,
that.
It's cool. But not to belabor
this. Did you hear
this,
Genyo Takeda was involved?
Oh, well, who was that again? What was that name? Here's the problem with the game. Like, the difficulty spikes come early and often in the game. I mean, and it gets to the point where It gets completely unfair because, like, okay, so it's like a Zelda game where you go into the next room and the screen just scrolls over. So you see, like, one room at a time. But if you go into the wrong rooms, you can just fall into a pit and die.
That's fine.
And it is a game with a live system that does not need a live system, which is – it reminds me of Zelda 2 in that respect where the lives are just there to sort of waste your time. So I don't want to go on too long about this, but
it also,
like,
it also really requires that you pick up special weapons and sub-weapons. But when you die and continue, you have to – go collect those things again.
Yeah, like grinding in its own way,
I mean,
I guess.
It's not even grinding. It's like – so like the final area of the game, the final zone, like you really can't beat that without the laser weapon.
Yeah.
And if you die and have to continue, which you're going to do because it's the final area and it's really hard.
It's really hard.
You have to go find that laser weapon again and because it's disposable. It's a consumable. So yeah, that's really frustrating. The game for me, like I played it on a rental thinking, okay, this looks kind of Zelda-ish, so that's cool. And it's like I kept playing it just waiting to get into it, like waiting for the game to really begin. And I just felt like I kind of breezed through it and found myself at the end without ever really experiencing the game that I expected. It was just – that was in my like Idiot Savant era where I could just finish any video game, whatever, put it in front of me and I'd destroy it. But there just wasn't any opportunity, I guess, for me to sort of take control and go the way I wanted, play the game the way I wanted it to. It looked like an adventure game, but it was actually really linear and really limited in what you could do.
Yeah.
So it was really frustrating in that sense.
Yeah. I have one thing to say.
Oh, go ahead, Christian.
Do me so far, do me.
Do me so far, do me. I think we all memorized that if you were a Nintendo Power reader, and I'll let you guys figure out what that means. But to conclude, like, I love how it looks. I love the music in this game so much. Like, Nintendo's, like, tropical music. They can't do wrong there. And the sequel apparently is more playable, but it's just so ugly. It looks so
also,
ugly.
It was very late.
It was very late.
Like, I've literally never even seen it.
Is yeah. it Zora's Revenge?
I think it's Zoda.
Zoda's Revenge.
Man, that was one of those games that just sat at Toys R Us in the bargain bin for $5. Like a $5 game. That and the original Final Fantasy
and Mega
for years.
Man 6
and I really wish I'd bought those. I just
and
kept
backup RAM carts for the Sega CD. I remember stacks of those at Toys R Us.
So that was my choice, Star Tropics. Let's go on to Shane. What do you have in mind for this question?
This is kind of a tough one. I could list a few, but as a kid, you know, when you bought an NES game for $49.99, it was a big deal. I had saved up my money. I was a huge fan of Atari's Xenophobe in the arcade. It's a really fun arcade game. Three players, horizontal split screen. Really excited about the Sunsoft NES version. Sunsoft makes good games. This is going to be great. Xenophobe and Sunsoft.
I think that was before Sunsoft had really proven themselves. Sunsoft didn't come into their own until Blaster Master.
So I remember,
this was before that.
I remember buying it at Walmart. My dad took me to Walmart. I'm so excited to come home. And like instantly, so fucking disappointed in the shitty version of Xenophobe for NES.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
It's
you
like CG.
You didn't take it back?
No, there were no take backs. Walmart wouldn't take
returns. Oh my god, that's why I always shopped at other places.
Yeah. And like the weirdest thing about it is like it has like CGA graphics. And like everything is like weird tones of like purple and green, and it's awful. It is awful.
I don't think anyone in this room is going to disagree with that.
Yeah.
Nope.
And like the Lynx version of Xenophobe is way better than the NES version of Xenophobe.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and they kind
Wasn't
of
that an Atari game to begin
it was,
with.
It was. Yeah, kind of it was so bad it actually like ruined my Xenophobe fandom for all time. Like when I saw the arcade of that, I was like angry at it.
So you saw Xenogears and you were like, no.
Right. Yeah. So and
Xenoblade.
I guess my other runner up would be the arcade version of Spy Hunter 2 because I loved Spy Hunter so much. And the Spy Hunter 2, kind of like your Zelda 2 thing, it's like it's totally different. It's weird. I wasn't ready for it. Strange cabinet. You're going to look in like a little window. I don't know.
So, Christian, what is your choice for this question?
I have a weird choice. So, for some reason, I cannot remember why. Maybe it was the cool marketing full of badly translated cartoon manga-ish stuff. But I was super excited for Kung Fu Heroes from Culture Brain.
Culture Brain had these crazy like, two-page spread ads.
Their ads were amazing.
Yeah, they were like comics.
Well, they had like, you know, the Magic of Scheherazade, which had like the little miniature setups that
amazing
they used for
art.
Japanese boxes.
Right, and Kung
you
Fu Heroes,
America,
I remember
America.
Kung Fu Heroes ad made it seem cooler.
I was so fucking hyped for that game. I don't know why. I getting one game for my birthday that year, I'm like, this is the game. Kung Fu Heroes is it. I will get it. And I got it and I played it. I'm like, what is this? Like, and like the thing is, like, you do run into people who like it. It's not like a terrible game.
Well, it's like a top down action.
It's a top down beat 'em up kind of thing.
Is
and
it
it's
called
like,
Chinese World in Japan?
It might be. It's in that series.
I think so, yeah.
So, like, you basically, it's a one screen beat 'em up where you, like, beat enemies and unlocks a door and you go to the next room. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, prosaic, I guess is the word. But to me, it was like this ultimate disappointment. Like, I thought it was going to be so goddamn cool, but it's just like, okay. But, like, to me, that is like.
Okay,
just,
well, then how did you go on to call it Kung Fu Webbies?
Oh, wow. You remember? This?
Of course.
So I showed it to my friend Jeff, who is my Jeff. If you're out there, Jeff, I miss you. Jeff does not do the internet, so like I don't. He's probably not listening to this. For some reason Jeff fell off the face of the earth.
He'll be walking past a random store and hear this.
My best friend Jeff at the time, like
right,
I played
around the radio all the time.
NES with him all the time, and for some reason, like the biggest insult you could give to something was to compare it to Webigail, the character from DuckTales.
She sucked.
Because Webigail's just so useless.
Yeah, she was kind of kidnap bait for the most part.
So he christened the game Kung Fu Webbies.
Wow.
And I can't believe you remember that.
I do.
The runner-up, I'm just going to do a quick runner-up like Shane did, Toshinden 2. Like, I was the biggest Toshinden fanboy. Like, I was.
Barf.
Yeah, I know. It's whatever. It's PlayStation launch. I thought Toshinden was great. I played it tons with my friends. I loved it. I played it tons by myself. Toshinden. So, like, the moment, like, I spent, like, $100 on the Japanese import of Toshinden 2, like, so excited. And it was the moment that I had to reconcile with myself that, in fact, Toshinden isn't good.
Wow.
And that was an unpleasant. It was my own money. At that point, I was, like, you know, like, 18 or whatever. Like, that was. My own money, my own $92 plus shipping,
you,
I recall.
You came to terms with it before the staff of GameFan who gave it like 99%. Yeah.
Like $92 plus shipping, Toshinden 2. Thanks so much, Takara.
Wow.
And Tamsoft, who's still around making our favorite game, Senran Kagura.
Whoa. I encourage our listeners to make the Kung Fu Webby's ROM hack and send it to Christian because it needs to happen.
Also, Toshinden is interesting because it went from like AAA launch franchise to so bad that the fourth version never even came out in America.
I know. It's amazing. I reviewed it for GameSpot. It's probably still up there.
There was. It was totally different.
But it was not made by Tamsoft either.
Yeah.
If you want to read something weird that I wrote, there's somewhere on GameSpot, there probably still is a review of Toshinden 4 for the Japanese PlayStation.
Toshinden Subaru.
Yes.
That was a Game Players magazine cover story, or cover game, Toshinden. That's how I found out about it, actually. But
Toshinden 3 is secretly the best because you can play as Michael Jackson.
Ah, weird. Jeremy, what is your choice for
this
question?
Okay, so my initial instinct was to be way too broad and say everything by Rare and Ultimate Play the Game.
That's like 150 games.
Yeah. Do you really want to like...
Also,
that's too broad.
I know that you are capable of liking Taboo the Sixth Sense.
In an ironic way, yes. But only when I'm at a hipster coffee shop. And I'm like, let me tell you about Taboo the Sixth Sense.
That would be, if Cyclass Coffee had a Taboo Sixth Sense like interactive display, it would be even hipper.
Yep, that would be amazing. No, I'm going to speak to my heart, though, and say Gunstar Heroes.
Like, what?
I think that game is amazing, and it's so cool. There's so many great ideas in it, and I play it, and I just don't have any fun at all. Like, I have tried so hard.
Have you played co-op?
Yes. I've tried so hard to do everything in that game, like approach it every way, and there's just something about it. I cannot bring myself to have a good time when I play
it. Is it the Genesis aesthetic?
And I want to.
Aesthetic.
I desperately. No, I think it looks cool. It has great music. The level design is so imaginative, but I just don't think it's fun.
How far have you
gone? I mean, I've played a bunch of it. I've fought Seven Force. I've done the board game. I've done...
Do you like Contra?
Yes. But it's so technical and complex that it just gets in the way of the dumb shoot 'em up that I like about Metal Slug and Contra.
So did you eat the free fruit roll up that came in it?
I didn't buy it back then.
Anybody else remember that?
Oh man.
I do, and I wouldn't recommend eating it.
The most stressful thing that ever happened to me when I was writing for EGM was to be assigned to review Gunstar Heroes Advance or whatever they called it,
Super Gunstar.
Like I was like, I know that this is technically amazing and I know people are gonna love it. And I don't know what to do because I'm not going to like it. I just know, and I really forced myself to pull my soul out of my body and observe the game
like
from,
Bison.
From
did
beyond
you
myself.
Not,
that's right.
Did you play it when it came out?
No, I didn't.
That's
I
part can't. Of the problem.
But I feel like a great game. You should be able to jump in and say, that's great.
This guy's playing Alleyway and still liking it.
I know. Wow.
Now.
But I mean, it's not a matter of like, oh, I think this game is stupid or I think this game is overrated. Like, I get why people like it. It's just for whatever reason, I don't enjoy playing it and I really want to.
Because I could agree that it is slightly overrated. However...
No, like, I think it is a technical tour de force. It is a masterpiece
it's
brilliant incredibly design.
It's incredibly imaginative. I mean, have you gotten
like,
to the board
I get
game?
Everything great
have
about
you,
it.
Have you done the board game?
Yes, I just said that. You asked me, and I said I had.
I think only Shinobi 3 is probably a better-looking Genesis game than
objectively, I recognize everything fantastic about this game, and I understand why people love it. And for whatever reason, it just won't – like, my heart refuses to give in, and I've tried.
Do you like Radiant Silvergun?
I swear to God. It's good. But I'm not super in love with it. I don't know.
I'm actually like
everyone's turning on Jeremy.
I feel like
I'm being honest here. I'm not saying people who like the game are stupid. I'm saying you guys. I'm jealous. I want that. I want that in my heart.
I can't be like a treasure person. Like you know, there are treasure people who like for treasure is like the best developer, and I definitely can't. Like I can't connect with them on the level you can't connect with this game specifically.
Right.
But I do have those moments. Like I love Radiant Silvergun.
Yeah. You know,
but like, on the other hand, like I love. The RPG equivalent of Treasure, which is Akitoshi Kawazu. I think his games are wonderful. I love Unlimited Saga. What the hell is wrong?
I beg to differ.
I would rather lick Bryant Street than go play Unlimited Saga.
See,
again.
There you
and
go.
Like, I think that it's a little sad to me, because especially Gunstar Heroes, because it is so technically perfect.
Mm-hmm. I'm not like, disagreeing at all.
On a platform where it was very hard to do
we
the things
know,
they were
this
doing.
This happens, though. Like, you know.
Well, I'm kind of sad for you. Like, it makes me a little sad.
Hey,
like,
I was that's not condescending at all.
Well, no, but I was trying to pull out, like, if there is something of the 16-bit era, like, a great game that people, like, point to as a landmark of perfection that I don't, that I can't
Super Metroid.
Enjoy. Love it. Yeah. Like, on a recent episode, someone said they couldn't enjoy Super Castlevania 4. That made me sad because I love that game, too. It's like,
Final Fantasy V.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Final Fantasy III as much as other people.
Same here. I think the World of Ruins.
Everyone
the World of Ruins
this
sucks.
Kind of,
like the World of Ruin blows.
We all have our moments, yeah. Right, or whatever.
But that one, it's kind of profoundly sad to me for you. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't know what to say.
Maybe one day you just need the right co-op partner to show you the true grandeur of Gunstar Heroes.
So you heard Shane leave 800-word comments about why Jeremy should like Gunstar Heroes, the steps he has to take.
Yes.
I feel like you need to go to the desert.
I feel like if people abuse you and give you detailed instructions on how to enjoy something, that's really the key to learning to love.
Bob's right. Take some peyote.
Yeah,
like,
go
to the
Lodge.
Desert. Yeah.
If you play a lot of Stretch Panic for like a day or two,
eventually
then
it'll be like, oh, Gunstar Heroes is great.
If you put bamboo under your fingernails and then play Gunstar Heroes, you'll be fine.
Eat the 20-year-old fruit roll-up. Then play Gunstar Heroes. It'll work.
Oh, dear God.
Wow.
Well.
Controversial.
Yeah. So, yes,
please. I can taste colors.
If you think we're wrong, let us know. But please be polite about it. And this has been an episode of Retronauts Micro. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for US Gamer and Something Awful. And US Gamer is our partner for this podcast. So please check out all the stuff we write for them. Shane, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Shane Watch.
You can find me on Twitter as Pharicide, and you can also find me on Gamasutra all day, every day.
You can find me, if you want to tell me how stupid I am, on Twitter at GameSpite. Go ahead. I don't use the block button at all. Mute maybe, but not block.
He's polite about that. I'm not. So you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch.tv, YouTube as Retronauts. I'm probably missing something, but just look up Retronauts. We're everybody. We're everything. We're everywhere you need to be. And we also
are... how to be a Retronaut. That's some jerk who stole our name.
Yeah, how dare they. And we are also being supported by Patreon, so that we are being supported by you guys. So thanks so much if you're giving, and if you haven't given us anything yet, that's cool. But please think about it. Go to patreon.com/retronauts and check it out. And we have a few rewards if you want to give to us, and we'd appreciate it greatly. But as for us, we're out of here for this week, and we'll see you next week with a brand new episode.